This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. What does it mean to be excluded from the place you call home? Minority communities in North Carolina have experienced economic and political exclusion at various points in our state history. And even now, and a new production from Playmakers Repertory Company explores that theme. The characters in Leaving Eden experienced the impact of this exclusion at two different points in history, 1933 and 2016. Playwright Mike Wiley is the writer behind Leaving Eden, and he joins us now. Welcome back, Mike.
Hey, Frank. Nice to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Have you and singer-songwriter Laura Lynn Dossett, composer and music director for the play. Laura Lynn, welcome.
Glad to be back.
Good to have the two of you together in this project. Laura Lynn, tell us about this song, Leaving Eden, and the genesis of this project.
Yeah. You know, I wrote this song such a long time ago, and I wrote it after they closed the last textile mill in Eden, North Carolina. And the song has had a kind of a life of its own. The Chocolate Drops recorded it. And somewhere along the line, Joe Hosh, the former artistic director at Playmakers, talked to me about doing a project with Playmakers and had always liked that song and thought it might be a jumping off point for a theater piece. And so
there's a lot of storytelling in that song. And the fact is, that was the genesis for it. Again, mill closings, people out of work. And what do we do now? It's a different play now.
It's a different play now. And that's totally appropriate because it's a different time now. And the idea of leaving... You know, people leave voluntarily, and sometimes people leave because they're banished. And sometimes those things happen simultaneously. So Mike really took the, you know, just the little kernel from the song and grew it into an epic tale.
Tell us about that process, Mike.
Well, it originally, as Laura Lynn said, it originally was going to be about the textile communities. And as I started to take a closer look at North Carolina and small towns across the state, Chatham County, Asheboro, I started to look at the changing face of those communities as well, and how the changing faces in those communities were being treated, and got a little deeper in the issues, especially with the Latinx population. I wanted to tell a different story. I wanted to tell a story about those towns and about those communities that was also reflective of the country as a whole. And so Leaving Eden came out of wanting to tell the story of immigration, or tell more of the story of immigration in these small towns, but also the history of banishment from those kinds of communities from 1933 to the present.
And tell us about that. In 33, you talk about Latinx communities. That's the contemporary story.
Correct.
The migration now from Latin America, largely Mexico, when it comes to North Carolina. And your earlier story, 1933, tell us more about that.
So in 1933, in this fictional town, right, in this fictional town, much like real towns in not just North Carolina, you know, Mitchell County, Wilmington, 1898, Forsyth County, Georgia, where else? A number of other places around.
And all the rural areas, if you think about people who, in the immediate aftermath of the Civil War, formerly enslaved people given land, which was then systematically taken by the white folks who had control of, right? And then if it was any good, once they got it going, because they gave them the worst land to begin with, and then once they got it going, that all became...
Exactly, you know. Exactly. And that same thing happened in communities all over the country. And so the 1933 portions of the play take place during that time period in... the late 1920s, early 30s, where those towns were, those black towns were pushed out, banished, excommunicated, whatever you want to say, even killed in a number of instances. Mm-hmm. And so the 1933 part of this play circles back to that, shows that this cycle of banishment continues to happen, and it's happening again with ordinances like the fictional ordinance that is happening in this particular town of Mara, North Carolina, right? but it's also happening in Albertville, Alabama, or Fremont, Nebraska, or Hazleton, Pennsylvania, those kinds of ordinances that banish those immigrant populations.
Yeah, we saw a story just recently, a group of Latinx immigrants who would have been evicted from a mobile home park in Siler City to make way for a larger chicken, and that was averted, but they were about to be evicted. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's part of the theme here, and yours, of course, set in 2016.
And they owned their home.
They owned it. So mm-hmm. I'm laughing. It's not funny. So, but that's the story, and it does continue. And I think that's the point that you're making, 1933,
Absolutely.
2016, 2018, and how long will it go? Laura Lynn, mm-hmm. then that meant that your song, which was mm-hmm. a beautiful song and a wonderful one, had to be redone, and you had to think about the music all over again.
Yeah, so we do use a bit of Leaving Eden in the play, and I rewrote the verse to make it fit the song, fit the play more appropriately. But the rest of the songs are all new and have, you know, been written in response to the script and to the story we're telling now.
Run to the river.
Run to the river. Shall I do it?
Will you?
There are secrets, secrets I swore I'd never tell. But the ones that I owed are all good, gone dead. So listen, children, listen well. 'Cause you gotta run to the river, you gotta run, run, run. The boatman is waiting, you gotta run. Mothers, fathers, wayward daughters, wayward sons, get on down to the river. And you gotta run. There are memories, memories I meant to bury deep. But the ones that I love calling out in my sleep, crying, listen. You gotta run to the river, you gotta run, run, run. The boatman is waiting, you gotta run. Mothers, fathers, wayward daughters, wayward sons, get on down to the river.
Laura Lynn Dossett, Run to the River. She's doing that live in the studio. It's a version of the song featured in the new Playmakers Repertory Company production, Leaving Eden. The play opens Saturday, April 7th, and runs through the 22nd of April at the Paul Green Theater in Chapel Hill. Also here with me is the playwright, Mike Wiley. Laura Lynn, talk about the evolution of this story in your mind. It's a song. It's Leaving Eden is a song. And then Joe Hodge comes up to you and says, I think there's a play in that. And, you know, I would think the juices start flowing. And now this. So talk about where this thing has gone in your own mind.
You know, this, for whatever reason, this song rang true to people in 2004. You know, I heard from people whose parents had worked in textile mills and other states. You know, they would say, yeah, that's the story, you know. And the story that Mike has written is you know, similarly ringing true, you know. So I think when we write in a way that we're trying to accurately reflect what's happening, you know, and also, you know, really dig right from our own hearts in our own family stories, those things are connected. So it's not bothersome or surprising to me to have the song, you know, just grow in a whole other direction.
Well, I want to bring two more people into this conversation now. Joining me are Sarita Ocon. Sarita plays the character Maria Morales in the new Playmakers Repertory Company production, Leaving Eden. Sarita, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also with us is Carlos Alcala, who plays the role of Maria's son, Javier. Hello, Carlos.
Hi, nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. Mike Wiley is still here, and of course, Laura Lynn Dossett, both still here. Sarita, tell me more about your character, Maria.
Well, Maria is an undocumented immigrant who is working at the Eden Pork Processing Plant. And her son and herself have recently been evicted from their home And so they are looking for a place to live at the same time that Hurricane Matthew is swiftly approaching the town of Mara. And our husband, father, has been deported, and we are also anxiously awaiting his arrival back to North Carolina.
Carlos, tell me a little bit about your character. You spent a little more time in the United States in the formative years your character did. So tell us about your character, Javier.
Yes. You know, one of the struggles that Javier is going through is this idea of him being born in a country that he doesn't even remember anymore and having to come over and cross the border with his family. And now, despite the fact that through his upbringing he has been to a certain degree more Americanized, anything that he can do will take him back to a place that he has no recollection of ever being, you know, living in. So that's been something very interesting that I've been trying to think about when I tackle this character.
Well, let's hear how it came out. I wonder if you could do a bit of a scene for us, would you?
Yeah,
sure,
absolutely.
I'd love to.
Do you need to set this up?
This is a moment when Maria and Javier have just been evicted from their home, and Javier has brought his mother to a possible location to rent.
Mm-hmm. Calm down, Ma. This is it.
This is what?
A place that's got a room for rent. I called this guy.
¿Qué es madre?
It's so dope.
I don't know what that means.
It means ill, but not like sick. Well, it can mean sick.
I'd rather sleep in the broken down or ill Chevy. Is this why you brought us to a mechanic across town? Dios mío, what goes through your head, Javier? Your tío Mundo can probably find us another car.
Like he found us that trailer?
Don't blame your tío for that.
Ma, listen. I know it makes you feel safe to be with family, but four families?
Familia is all we have, papito. It's what got us here and what keeps us going. What would your abuelo say if he knew we were sleeping under that ugly billboard?
He'd say, muy bueno, papito. Stick it to those pendejos right in their own front yard. Like Harriet Jacobs, or Anne Frank, or El Chapo.
Javier.
Okay, bad examples. But you got to admit, Gramps has a point. I do have a point, Maria. Let's just ask about the room, and if it's available, we'll only stay until Papa comes back. Please?
Why didn't I have a little girl? If God was only going to bless me with one, why not a sweet, pequeñita, quiet girl? When did you grow up, papito, hmm?
My quinceañera would have been off the chain, though.
I don't know what that means.
Straight up lit. Oh, Ma.
Did I mention I need coffee?
But we'll be back, right? Right?
Sarita Ocon and Carlos Alcala performing a scene from the new Playmakers Repertory Company production, Leaving Eden. The play opens Saturday, April 7th, runs through the 22nd at the Paul Green Theater, Chapel Hill. Of course, we got all that at our website, stateofthings.org. I'm speaking with Leaving Eden playwright Mike Wiley and composer and music director Laura Lynn Dossett, along with the actors. Sarita, tell me a little bit about this, because you acted as a kind of consultant to Mike on this a little bit, right? I mean, tell me about that.
Well, you know, I think given the current state of affairs in our country, it's incredibly important that we amplify voices that are otherwise marginalized. And so to ensure that the undocumented experience is represented with authenticity and with integrity and respect. So it's been an honor. I love working on new plays, and I love collaborating with new artists, new playwrights, and companies. So I always welcome that openness of collaboration.
No, tell me about the blind spots. I want to hear about the blind spots. This is fascinating, because Mike, think about this. I know it. Here you are, an actor of color. You're an African-American actor, and
right.
You and a playwright, right?
Yeah.
And you are experiencing this. We talk about underrepresented voices.
And not to mention most of my work deals in African American history.
That's right.
Right?
So, and you've made that your living, and a lot, most of it, as you say, you do a lot of other things as well. But my point is that you are often called on to kind of set people straight. It's like, not quite like that, because you're the underrepresented voice, and maybe in that large organization, there aren't people who would have the sensitivity that you would. Now you're in a little different position. I mean, you're having to hear something that you, even though we're talking about other underrepresented voices.
Absolutely. Yeah. I felt that that I had reached a point in the process where, okay, I think this is all right. I think I'm talking about the playwriting process in the first reads. I had reached a place where I thought, I think this is okay. And then I look over at Sarita.
Oh, are we going to keep it real now?
No. I think this is really important for people telling and attempting to tell stories. And I look over at Sarita, and she has this look on her face. So I go over and I said, "Is everything all right?" And she says, "I don't think you've gone far enough." Basically, you've not gone deep enough, which is a completely honest thing to say, and I need to hear that as a playwright, as an artist. If someone says, "I think you can go deeper," okay, what does that mean? I have to then explore within myself what that means, and then explore within the material what that means, and so. It is a day I will never forget, because it was such a beautiful moment to be told, "Hey, go deeper, man."
But that's the artistic process, right? First of all, having people in the room who've had the experience, right? Yeah, that's important. Then being open to listen, and you're creating an artifice. I mean, it's not a real space. Although how many times in this conversation have we found that the story you wrote is matching the headlines, right? Yeah. And it goes back to what, 2004? When did you write it?
2004.
Yeah, you wrote the song, and again there were headlines there about people. Because of the way we'd structured an economy, that story rings true and continues to do that.
Mm-hmm. You know, also, the language of the play.
We had to help support that.
I don't speak Spanish at all, and so it was really helpful to have, you know, after I had friends that spoke, and then Google Translate, which is horrible, right?
Stop Google.
But then, having Sarita and Carlos in the room, helping me reformulate most of it, so much of it. It was really a great process. It goes all the way back to last spring in the process series, as a matter of fact. So we've had her and Carlos on board since back then.
It's great stuff. Well, I want to leave you, Laura Lynn, a little time to play us out, if you wouldn't mind. But before I do that, I want to remind everybody who I'm talking to and where they can see more of you. Singer-songwriter Laura Lynn Dossett created the music and lyrics for the new Playmakers production, Leaving Eden. Mike Wiley's the playwright behind the performance. Actors Sarita Ocon and Carlos Alcala play the roles of Maria and Javier in that play. Leaving Eden opens Saturday, April 7th, and it runs through the 22nd at Paul Green Theater in Chapel Hill. And you can find more information about the show at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we're going to learn about Edna Lewis, who revolutionized Southern cooking. If you haven't heard about her, you probably should, and you'll be happy you will when you listen. But once again, here is Laura Lynn Dossett with the song Leaving Eden.
Okay, I actually have a different guitar in my hand, so I'm going to do the song that Sarita and I are going to sing together. I'm sorry, I misunderstood where we were, but this is called I Will Sing Until My Weary Voice Is Gone. Like the hawk, she spreads her wings out toward the light. Like the sparrow breaks the silence of the long, still night. Like the dove who knows the war is never won. Like the mother holds the future in her son.
I will sing until my weary voice is gone. I will work my bleeding fingers to the bone, bone, bone. I will put my knee and shoulder to this uphill stone. I will seek for peace until I reach my home. Like the hawk, she spreads her wings out toward the light. Like the sparrow breaks the silence of the long still night. Like the dove who knows the war is never won. Like the mother holds the future